Hello, and welcome to another incredible opportunity for you to learn from our speakers for our Experts Discovery Academy. I have a beautiful lady that is going to be speaking to you and sharing so much that is going to be transformative to you. She's talking about empowering you to embrace your authentic bliss. And I'm excited because I've known this wonderful woman for a very long time, and I've been able to see her metamorphing process and witness her glory, and now I get to share it with you. So I'm all about sharing, and this is that opportunity for you to see why you need to grab some pen and paper, get ready to take some notes, get yourself in a space of openness, and learn more from our next upcoming speaker. And Stasia, I am so excited to have you be a part of what we're doing, and I'm really honored that you were able to squeeze some time in your busy schedule to share with our incredible listeners that are opening up their space to learn and grow. And I just want to applaud you for being a contribution to what we're creating. Thank you so much, Stasia.
Thank you, Jacqueline. I'm so honored to be here.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to say yes to my offer to ask you to be a part of what we're doing?
Well, first of all, likewise, I've been watching you and what you've been doing, and I've been absolutely thrilled and inspired by your life work, and I'm just grateful to be able to merge in what I'm doing with what you're doing, because I feel like it's so complementary to the way that you're helping people step into their truth and love and this relationship in the way that you are, and I think that this work is complimentary.
Thank you. Yeah, you're totally right. I was very, very, very picky who I had part of my group, and I protect what our listeners get to experience, and I want to make sure that only the best of the best were able to contribute, and that's why I selected you. So I'm excited because you say that you're going to talk to us about 10 simple tips to help you embrace your bliss now. And this is so important. We've been talking a lot about happiness and bringing that in and finding that joy space. So talk to me a little bit about what you think of as you refer to it as our birthright and the state of being. I mean, that's just, it's so powerful. So I want you to explain to us, what is bliss?
Yes, this is a fabulous question. And I think this is the question that I ask people to ask themselves first of all. First and foremost is, what is bliss? And we each have this idea, and this kind of ties in question one and two together, sort of. Because the question is to ask yourself that. We have this kind of social programming or this idea in our heads of maybe what we've been told, and we maybe haven't actually even really thought about that question before. Sometimes we think that bliss is this ecstatic, buzzing state where we go to and then we come back from, that we have these high and these low moments, and we associate, or we tend to associate, these high moments with bliss. But what I'm wanting to invite people to recognize and resonate with is, bliss is actually our birthright, our natural state of being. And in my first book, The Chocolate Fast, Embracing Your Bliss, mm-hmm. One Chocolate at a Time, I go into a little bit more detail about this, that bliss is a place from which we emanate, that we're trying to get back to. And if we can start to come to that awareness of bliss as being natural, then the highs and the lows just sort of weave through this, but we aren't thrown back and forth like a, you know, jellyfish up and down through them, but we're actually able to start observing our life from this place of bliss.
I love that. And I think that we think that that heightened level of awakening and awareness, it's like a peak and you can't stay there. But what you're saying is you actually can, and you can find that next level. And so when you're talking about embracing your authentic bliss and aligning with your prior unity, that's important too, and understanding how do you balance that out. So can you talk a little bit more about how those tie together?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the first thing is, I like to explain to people that from an Eastern standpoint in the yogic system, that they talk about five different levels of our being, five aspects of our body. They call them the koshas, or the body sheets. And the first is the physical, and then we have the energetic or breath body, which expands out a little bit more. People can see this in an auric reading. And then you've got your mental body, which is, you know, sometimes you're able to pick up on other people's thoughts because we are connected through a mental sheath or a mental field. And then there's a wisdom body, which is where we access intuition and higher knowledge and, you know, inspiration and things like that. But beyond that, and the interconnected field that some would call the source field, is called the Ananda Maya Kosha. Ananda in Sanskrit translates as bliss, and it is literally the bliss field from which we all emanate. And it's, of course, not separate from our physical body. It's just the most expanded version of who we are. And so I like to ask people to, in any moment when they're experiencing highs or lows, to keep affirming to yourself, this too is bliss. This too is my natural state. I'm experiencing different colors, if you will, on the painting of my life, and I go through this later in number 10, but that everything in our life is still emanating from that one state that we are able to access any moment. And actually view our, if you want to say, lower or physical experiences through that lens, if we give ourselves the opportunity to do that.
I love that. And it's that intertwining. I was talking with other people about this lately, at that what happens, it's still resonating, it's still connecting. And it sounds like you're talking about how you can pull into it, you can align with it as you need to and as you're understanding it. And that's powerful. It just makes you feel less like you're floating out on your own and trying to figure out everything.
Yeah, and in my first book, The Chocolate Bath, I actually take people through a process of realigning with that bliss through 24-hour fast. Now, I use chocolate in the book, but you can use anything that you usually hold away from yourself, like you feel like you don't deserve it.
Right.
Usually it's something you really like chocolate.
Yeah.
And allow you to embrace it for 24 hours fully as a tool to re-access that natural state.
Right. I love that. I just, all about that kind of, what does it take for us to start waking up? A lot of people are not living life fully. So as you talk about, and the next question is, the negative subconscious programming from childhood sends false messages and blocking your bliss. And this is so true and so powerful. And I'm so excited that you're going to talk about this. So expand on it and show us how this can affect us now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, from 0 to age 7 years old, we're fed just information and beliefs and programs from our environment. And it's not like the people that are raising us are trying to, you know, give us these negative programs, but it just happens that we absorb unfiltered all this information. And they actually say that it's just the subconscious that's open during those younger years, that everything just goes right in and is imprinted.
Mm-hmm.
And so after we pass age 7, we start to actually live from that place. And so even today as adults, even if we've done lots of work on ourselves, generally it's really difficult to penetrate back into the subconscious mind and to undo those patterns. But if we recognize that that's the place where we're storing it, then we can use techniques to go in there and reprogram ourselves, get out those negative patterns that are blocking us from accessing our natural state, and be able to really fully, you know, live in that place of authenticity.
That's so powerful. And it is, it's that, what did we feed our kids' subconscious mind while they're young? What did we get fed? And where can we go with it? And that there is a way to move forward from it. We don't need to hold that in and carry that baggage and that, you know, a skewed life from where we are right now. I feel so much that you're giving that permission, that there are tools to really reprogram, and I think it's super important to reprogram the inner spirit and the information. So I'm really thankful that you're bringing that up. And I like that you're also talking about some simple guided meditation and getting rid of those negative programming. And that is something that each speaker has brought in different levels of this awakening. And it's exciting because meditation is finally starting to get a little more understood, a little more clarity to people that didn't ever know to ask about it. And so it's exciting to know that we're getting more information out there. And I'd love for you to be able to talk about removing this negative programming through the meditation and yoga. It just is so powerful. I'm really excited for what you're going to be sharing on this.
Yeah, absolutely. What I like to think of that subconscious patterning is kind of ends up being like a fog between this physical and the, you know, mental reality and that natural state. So sometimes the difficulty we have in accessing our bliss is this kind of fog state. So yoga nidra is something that I learned when I was in India studying in yoga school. Bowl some years ago. It has been one of the most powerful and life-transformative meditation practices that I've ever used. And I've been meditating since 1997 and tried so many different techniques. And I'll tell you, in the 4 months that I was learning this practice, practicing daily, I was just lightened so much. I felt completely emptied out of so many burdens. And, you know, we learn so many things these days that give us more tools, you know, but we hardly ever learn things that unburden us, that lighten us up, is my feeling.
Right.
And this is one of those tools. It's a tool, but it is lightening. And so Yoga Nidra is something very simple. I offer a myriad of guided meditations on my website and through Amazon. That it basically, you just practice lying down in the traditional yoga posture of Shavasana, which is just a relaxed position. You can do it seated too. And it just takes you through into dream and deep sleep states of consciousness. And you're trained to do this so that eventually you're following the meditation fully conscious, but you're able to dip into these states and remain aware. And it's so neat because as you do this, you start to see through what in Sanskrit we call drashta, or the witness, you start to see these negative programmings kind of bubble up and just disperse out, you know, as you let them go. And then there's an aspect of meditation where you get to add what's called a sankalpa, or an intention, where you're planting a new seed that you want to grow in the subconscious mind, something that you want your reality to be manifesting. And it happens like almost like magic, that you're planting it there, and now you don't have to do all this extra steps. You just watch it start to become the new you.
I love that you were able to bring in that visual. It's powerful. And so many times people focus on getting rid of stuff, but they don't replace that open space with something that can nurture and grow and be a positive filler, because something else is going to go in there if you leave it empty. So that's a wonderful visual that's very empowering and very enriching. So, you know, it's great because as you talk about the other people in our world, our environment of really the mirrors of you, and this is something I'm constantly talking about, flipping the mirror. So talk about this. This is really powerful, and it's so important, and I understand with it being part of bliss.
Yes. Well, we're kind of going step by step here. It's like, you know, we got to remove some of our negative subconscious programming before we can really invite in relationship, because otherwise we're still kind of playing off those old patterns. So as we do that, as we lighten our own load, we're kind of clearing the lens, but still the other will show up and let us know what's still in there to be cleared. So it's one of my next books, Redefining Relationship, is all about looking at the other as an outward manifestation of the self. And that actually it's a great gift that you see things that you maybe don't like in others. It's really an opportunity to view the things that you're still working on in the self. And this kind of ties in also to number 6, that relationships are about the self. That when we get triggered, that it's really not about the other person and their issues, and we need to go find somebody else. But it's really an opportunity to look at what is still in us that needs clearing, and that we can be grateful for that, and go ahead and maybe go back to some of these previous steps and do the work on those things, and watch that relationship transform to actually reflect more and more of this pure, authentic bliss that is you.
Right. And I love your comment on that, because I remember years and years ago doing a match for matchmaking when I had my business, and at the end of the date, the gentleman goes, I looked around for cameras because that woman was so much like me that it actually made me think you had set me up to learn about some traits I need to work on. He goes, I realized at the end of the date, she was so much like me and there were things about me I actually didn't like anymore. And it was a very big awakening for him to change some of his life. And he's a wonderful man. She's a wonderful lady. But when he saw it being mirrored back to him because they were so identical, it helped him to realize, actually, I don't necessarily want all those traits. It was a very very powerful. It shifted his entire life, being able to truly look in the mirror of what it was that he needed to do. And it was so amazing because people don't realize what we attract and what we bring forward, and that we can use it to grow from or we can run from it, but it'll still show up later. And I like how you're saying to go back and even reviewing the steps, but also to look at the relationship and say, okay, hold on. I've requested some of these things I need to work on, and they're just helping bring it forward through the mirror.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's very
good. It's not an awakening.
Yeah, it is. It's like, whoa. That was one of my biggest ones with a client that was like, oh my gosh. It's like, no, we had no cameras. It was just a chance for, you know, we think we know what we want, and then we see it, and it's like, okay, there's ways to grow. And so as you had started talking about relationships are about the self, it's you're the core essence. So do you want to expand a little bit more on that? Because it's just such a powerful statement.
Yeah, well, and, you know, ultimately, like, you know, I have a lot of experience of, you know, trying out different people in my reality and thinking, you know, maybe not, this isn't quite it, or this isn't quite it. And it was a great awakening for me to realize that I just kept looking in the mirror and finding similar but slightly adjusted versions of the things that I was working on. And so as I started to own that it wasn't about them, that it was the self, and this is where the alchemy really comes in, and it's all about looking at what are, you know, I call the dross or the heavy stuff, the weighty issues that still might be from our childhood, or honestly, they could be carried on through family lines, just a pattern of consciousness that is wanting to be alchemized, transmuted, lifted to a higher level. And so as we allow and maybe come into a, you know, a commitment with another to hold sacred space with another person, recognizing that together we have the ability to transmute the lower expressions, and, you know, and it's going to be when we're ready, when we're ready to go into that pit, because a lot of us have a fantasy that believes, you know, when we go into a relationship, everything's just going to be glorious all the time. There's never going to be any problems or whatever, and that's, you know, probably not generally the case, though I'm sure there are those instances, but the other person, when you are committed to doing this for each other, you get to work. I like to think of it as, you know, in a laboratory together, alchemizing all of your drops, all of your lower expressions into higher ones, and the best relationships will challenge you to rise out of your negative patterning and express union at the highest level. And this is, like I said, it's not always easy, but it is an opportunity for growth, not only for yourself in the present, but to clear family patterning, like, way back.
Exactly. I really, really appreciate you bringing that up, because people have an opportunity to kind of push through the relationship growth process and stay with it long enough to actually get the rewards that both people will really benefit from the process too. And I like how your next topic is saying it's not about them, and we're guiding people to know their triggers and what their importance is. So can you talk a little bit about this? Because so many times people, I've been doing relationship for a long time too, so it's with all these people that I speak with, it's so often that, oh, they, when it's like, well, actually, you brought these forward, so I'm excited that you're expanding on the details for this.
Yeah, well, this is, like, normally the most difficult, even for the most, if you want to say, aware or conscious of us, you know, it's something where we kind of, again, have this illusion from our fairy tale stories that...
Right.
Things are going to be so, you know, shiny, and the prince is always going to treat me like the princess, and likewise, you know, everyone's going to be helpful and, you know, apologetic or whatever. But really, when we get into it, and if we can say we're in it as conscious individuals who've chosen to come into this relationship and say yes, which a lot of us are coming into our, you know, secure relationships or the ones we want to stay in later in our life, perhaps. So we've kind of got what we think life figured out, and then we come into this relationship with this other, and now we're getting all these triggers, and it's almost like now we're seeing the worst of ourselves again, and it's easy to say that it's them.
You know, right.
It's easy to
absolutely
say, I was great before I had this relationship, and so there must be something wrong with them, and, you know, how can we fix this? But when we start to turn it around and we take responsibility that we are creating our reality through the lens that we're looking through, you know,
right,
what patterning is still coming, and embrace that this too is bliss, and coming back to that first one, that even though in this moment it might look like a storm is coming through. Something is true here. Something is emanating from the truth of who I am, and it's asking to have an insight given. I like one of my spiritual teachers talks about illusions are just there. Illusions meaning, you know, troubles or difficulties or things that don't seem like the bliss, don't seem like the truth. They're there for us to get an insight from. And when we get the insight from them, then those things clear. And so to stay with it, even when we feel like this should be the end, this should be, you know, it shouldn't be like this, to continue to come back to the self over and over again and, you know, make that place in self as clear and transcendent as possible. Just keep, you know, looking through the lens, okay, this must somehow be something I'm working on, and continue to bring it back and clear it in the self. And so many times I've noticed that when I can change it in myself, when I can truly own what's happening as something I need to clear, and I do that so often, in fact, more often than not, that other person seems to change almost magically.
Exactly. I love that, because it's not that you're trying to get them to change for you. It's that they're getting a different vibration and energy from you, and you're giving them room to do their growth. At the same time, you're taking your own ownership. And I love that, because you're setting an example that they can follow, but they're also seeing the rewards and benefits you're getting by holding your own truth.
Well, isn't it true that when someone is acting a certain way that we think, well, if they would just act this other way, then I would be able to be my best self, you know, like you know somehow inside, right?
Right.
So when we turn that around, the same is true. You know, they're just responding to our vibration, like you said.
Exactly. Well, I love how our next topic is about intimacy and its highest expression. And this is so important for people to really get that level of understanding of God and goddesshood in action. I really love your energy and your descriptions. They're just so beautiful. So talk about this in a way that we are able to understand it, as you so beautifully have expressed so far. It just really, it's resonating with our listeners. I can just feel them going, oh my gosh, hold on. She's speaking my language.
Yeah. This is such an important topic to me. This is the topic of one of my books, Create Your Life, Not Just Babies. And it kind of came out of this idea of watching the people around me in life experience, being conscious, knowing that they create their reality, and being very confident to, you know, do law of attraction work and manifestation work and all this stuff. And then I came to the sexual act and intimacy, and it was like, oh, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid to get pregnant. I'm afraid of this. I need protection. All this stuff. And it seemed like a counter in my mind. And so I really had to meditate on this. I really did some work. I came across an amazing material, one of which is the Magdalene manuscripts, that really just enlightened me to this and resonated with something that I felt like I already knew inside. And that is that when we can approach intimacy and sexuality the same way that we do the rest of our life, with that empowerment, knowing that we are, and I use the term gods and goddesses, because
yes,
I feel like at our highest manifestation, in our most empowered state, that we truly are this, that whatever it is that we're choosing to create in our life is coming from a place of either disempowerment or empowerment. And so when we can come from our highest state, our God, goddess self, then the sexual act becomes a place where we can access the power of co-creation. And what I mean by that is, I mean, we all know that it's powerful. We actually bring other beings into the world through this act.
Right.
I mean, it's obviously accessing the hugest portal of creation, but without needing to just create children. Now, children are wonderful, but that's not always what everyone wants to continue to do. I want to highlight that the fields of two, when they come together in this way with common intention, that we actually are able to access creation, the energy of creation. And that means whatever these two conscious beings coming together in this way state and intend together that they would like to create, I want to say this strongly and potently, that we actually draw these things into the field, into reality. When two people with common intention come into the sexual act, that we are accessing creative potential. That I have seen this happen, that miracles happen when this space is honored and respected for the power that it wields, that it's not just oh, let's see what happens, or let's just enjoy this, or it's beautiful, and that's fine too. The intention can be to grow the love
right.
in the relationship True. As well. But when we don't make an intention, then we automatically will fall into a default program, which is whatever it is that we've been carrying along in the patterning or societal belief about getting pregnant or whatever, you know, passing along some unwanted ailment or something like that. Those are default patterns, and those are not the truth of who we are.
Right, and I really, really appreciate that you're bringing this in. I'm noticing so many people that are just so blocked to even get to the point of allowing themselves to actually admit they want that deeper connection. They want the act of sexual intimacy that is at a deeper resonating level versus just, oh, we both have needs, let's get them taken care of. It's not treating it like a checklist or a paranoia. It's about what can we enjoy and really letting that union be so much stronger. And it's so it just, it's wonderful how you've described it. And it's important that people acknowledge that there's so much more to that intimacy connection that can be acknowledged in a deeper level. So that awakening of their own inner connection. I mean, it's really beautiful in the way that you've described it. And knowing that, you know, we get really branded with that, worried about inappropriate things happening that have been branded in our minds or children we weren't expecting and things that it's so blocked off when we don't need to block that. So giving people permission to really have intimacy at its highest expression is really a gift that you're giving one another.
Yes, and there's so much to be said about that, but yeah, absolutely, to start approaching that from a higher level, yes.
Right. And I'm excited because with that, I feel like as people get closer intimacy and they can communicate at such a deeper level, you're talking also about the world is in the midst of a paradigm shift. And these are things that people are really gravitating to understand. So please share with our incredible audience what this means.
Yeah, and I'll be brief on this, but this is the topic of my up-and-coming book, Surfing the Paradigm Shifts. And it's basically starting to look at reality, and all of us are sensing this. We're kind of in this middle period that life isn't quite what it used to be, but it's not quite totally where it's going yet. And that is true in almost any topic across the board, from disease and illness versus health, all the way to, you know, through relationships, to the, even the idea of death. Like, everything seems to be up for grabs right now.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I don't know. Like, maybe if we just think about that a little bit differently, it will actually manifest differently. With all of our exposure to quantum mechanics and the way that reality is, you know, not really how we used to think that it worked, it's like, you know, collectively as a society, we've agreed on things working a certain way, but I'm, you know, bringing that up like that it's not necessarily that way, and it's okay for us all, and it's actually important for us all to start questioning all of these beliefs and looking at them like, what is the world that we want to create? That it's actually up to us to start creating that new world through the beliefs that we're continuing to perpetuate.
That so perfectly said. That is exactly what we need for people to start realizing. They create their own reality, and that we have that power to grab what we want and hold on to what we want and embrace what we want and really live within our own truth and reality. We have so much more information, so much more awareness now. And that's why I love that you have our 10th question in here is life is poetry. That, you know, is such a beautiful statement. And I'm so excited for what you're going to share with us, and your perception of it in a way that we're able to understand it is just really invigorating.
Okay. Well, this to me just kind of sums it all up. It's to come back to the beginning of accessing that natural state of being and bliss. It's really not so much a cognitive experience as it is a feeling, a knowing, a resonance with something deeper and more beautiful. And as, you know, like I mentioned in the statement here, even science is saying, you know, like the majority of reality is not known. Only a tiny bit is actually matter. And so, you know, one of my spiritual teachers says, you know, it's largely 12 out of 13 is the unknowable, 1% that we live in. And so as we start to access this unknowable, That is the poetry. That is the music. That is the art of life. And that the more that we start to live life in a poetic way, in an artistic way, and by that I mean stop totally relying on just the reason and logic and organization of things, that these are important, but start to view life as art playing out. You know, when something, I like to look at it as when something seemingly negative is happening, that it's just some darker colors on the canvas. You know,
right.
If the whole canvas was painted a light color, it wouldn't, you know, necessarily be as beautiful as all the different colors on the painting, right?
You're so right.
Yes, same with a symphony. Like, you wouldn't want the symphony only just playing flutes. You want the low notes. You want the bass and the cello and all these things that start to view, and rather than, and this is moving from duality into unity, right? Because duality says there's right and wrong, but unity, when we're all connected, says there's just different colors, there's different sounds, there's different, you know, like, tones to reality.
You know, that is such a beautiful visual as you're describing. All of a sudden I can just see the symphony playing and feeling how important it is that we have each instrument, each visual, each stimuli for this journey that we're on. And it is heightening our awakening, our senses. And it's so, I love your description. And it, where you're saying is where life slumbers, but mysteries live. And it's so important that we start to wake up to this and notice it, and then let ourselves keep growing in all that you're bringing forward as you're sharing this information. It's painting a picture. You've created an atmosphere. You've spelled it out in a way that makes people that might not know a lot of this information beforehand could actually do something with it and move forward. And that's what's so powerful about our Experts Discovery Academy, is really giving people the permission to feel comfortable about a new way of thinking and seeing and learning to expand where they're going with this. And that's really, you've done an amazing job at sharing all your information.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, you really, truly, you've come from a place of very passionate, your energy. It's really wonderful. And what I'm so excited is that your 10 tips and giving all this information isn't going to be the last of what we get from you, because you have generously given a gift. And I want you to explain this incredible, magical gift that you're giving to all of our wonderful audience members.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so happy to be able to offer a gift. The gift I'm giving is a yoga nidra, as I've spoken about already, and it's
right.
A yoga nidra of abundance. I specifically created this yoga nidra all about helping to reprogram the ideas and beliefs that we have about money and plenty and some of the restrictions that might have come, you know, as we've grown up in this world. So many of us are trapped in that sort of money box. And
yes.
So this yoga nidra is to help go in and reprogram that. It's an audio recording. It's about 30 minutes. And I recommend that people use it daily. You can use it as you're falling asleep at night. And it's about 2 to 6 weeks, generally, for people to start noticing their subconscious mind starting to play out in a different way.
Wonderful. That's so exciting. I love that. And such a generous gift. And that's what I love about this opportunity to meet such great speakers for everyone, because the gift keeps on giving. There's more connections. There's more process that we're unveiling. And it just, I know our listeners are like chomping at the bit to be able to click the button and get started on this wonderful process that you've begun for them. And so we're just about to wrap up. What are some of the last few things you want to share with our wonderful group?
I just want to take a moment, ask everyone to breathe into their hearts and say to yourself, this too is bliss. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever is occurring in your life, this too is bliss. And when we can start to feel that as truth, then we can start to see the cornucopia, the buffet, if you will, that life is offering us, that each event is an opportunity to expand, to evolve, to grow in conscious awareness, and that it's all really a gift.
You know, you've given us a gift of all of your time and your expertise and your knowledge, and really inviting people to rise up, to seek their bliss, to understand their bliss. And sometimes we forget that in the busy world that we live in and all the distractions. And so taking the time out and understanding some steps to get there is what makes it possible. So I thank you so much for all that you've given to us, Deja. This is wonderful. And I know that our incredible listeners are so thankful and they're feeling it. It just, the vibration feels higher through our conversation. And I know that they will be listening to this. And so I thank all of you that are taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen, because we've created this for you. And this is our gift. And I'm so thankful that we can add Stasia's gift to all the pleasures that people will be experiencing. So thank you, Stasia, for all that you've given. And we feel blessed.
Thank you, Jack.
Absolutely. Thank you.